All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and Lord. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown and Lord of all. Let every tongue and every tribe respond to his call. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
Welcome to the Tag Your It podcast. So I know you guys have been bugged a couple times today, and now it's crunch time, and we're doing the show blind, and I can't do anything about it. So that being said, if you guys watching the show, you guys are on a delay, so it might take a little bit for me to see it, but I would value your comments going, hey, your lips are moving and the sound is coming out of different directions I don't even know. So you saying that will tell me what I need to do. So anyway, if you guys have any comments on that, let me know. Other than that, I'm Ray Ray.
And this I'm Dave. Yeah. And if you notice, down here in the corner, there's a new Tag Your It podcast logo.
Yeah, so basically I'm using a new production software program to get that screen up, to play the music, to go through scenes. And so as we go through the night, there's a few things that we're doing that the scenes will help with the live aspect anyway. So that's what I'm trying to bring on. So I'm hoping this is all working awesomely. And looks like my buddy Brent has said everything looks good on his end. So
Thank you, Brent. We're good to go.
So, but there are anomalies that I've seen come up. So something later on in the podcast might totally shift things around. So thanks, Brent, for letting us know. Other than that, we have a big reveal to do tonight. And in conjunction with that big reveal, we have a guest. And his name is Dr. Jason Crowder. So say hi, Jason.
Hello, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on tonight.
Yeah. So the big reveal, Dave, you want to be the bearer of good tidings
and
great joy?
Well, I'm excited to tell you that Tag Your It the podcast is now a part of something called Kaiopolis Institute. That is an organization that is directed by President Jason Crowder and Vice President Tim Carter. Am I saying that right, Jason? I want to make sure.
Yes, you are.
And I pronounced Kaiopolis Institute correctly.
Kaiopolis.
Kaiopolis. Correct. Sorry. Man, I've been messing it up all the time. Don't tell anybody.
It happens, I'm sure.
Let me say this, too, in that element. Jason, what does Kaiopolis mean? Because I actually don't know, and I don't want to say what it means and be wrong.
Well, it's a term I coined together from two Greek terms. Kaio is the Greek term for reason. Opolis is the term for city or state in the Greek. So it is simply the state of reason or the city state of reason. So the state of reason is what we're calling it. Because so much of our society has lost the concept of reason. So we want to get back to what it means to critically think, particularly in the church, and the concept of discipleship in the church, which is lost because so many churches have gone with the mindset of church growth and growing our churches numerically, but they have failed to grow the church spiritually and actually making true disciples, which we'll get into more later on in this broadcast.
All right.
Man, I want to make sure that I'm saying it right because people are going to ask me, wait, how do you say that? Kaiopolis?
Correct.
Yeah.
Or just simply say K-I.
K-I.
So much easier to say K-I.
If you're on the college campus, we're a part of K-I, and they'll think that you're some cool fraternity kid.
Yeah.
And then you start preaching the gospel to them.
That's right. Amen. With that said, this is going to be the last podcast of 2018. I have not counted the amount of podcasts we have done this year, but I know that it's substantially more than we did last year.
We're in the 60s, I think.
Began with a guest, Jonathan Hayashi at the start of the year, and I could not give you every single person that we have had on the show this
year. We've had a good one, and like Jeff Durbin showed up. I mean, we've had a really good year this year.
And we are ending on an amazingly high note because Dr. Crowder is not only the director of KI, he is also a professor at Columbia Evangelical Seminary. And what other institutions do you teach at, Dr. Crowder?
Lone Star College, Cypher Campus, and Butler Community College in Kansas as well.
All right. And what classes do you teach, just out of curiosity, in those different institutions?
Columbia Evangelical Seminary, anywhere from biblical studies, theology, philosophy, Greek, Hebrew, Lone Star Community College, philosophy, religion, New Testament, world religions, Butler, I teach New Testament, Old Testament, and comparative religions.
Man, your plate is pretty darn full. And then you're, and then now you're adding Kylopolis Institute on top of that. So, you know, with that being said, I mean, you've pretty much already introduced yourself to people. They know who you are. So when it comes to Kylopolis, we've already said that you and a guy named Tim Carter, which if you guys aren't in the know here in Missouri, he's also with me in the Missouri Baptist Apologetics Network. And so this is kind of the, he was the person that kind of started this, like, hey, Tag, you're it, and then bringing it to Jason over here with the podcast anyway. So what is your story with Tim Carter and Kylopolis?
Tim is actually one of my, former students now, because he just finished up with his master's in apologetics with Columbia Evangelical Seminary. So he started with me at Columbia Evangelical Seminary as one of my students there a couple years ago. And he and I got talking, and I had a vision of this ministry for a number of years and didn't know exactly how this vision was going to play out. Then more and he and I talk, we're like, let's do this together. Yeah. Then we got talking and we're like, you know what? We got Dave and I've known each other for a couple of years now as well. We got talking. We're like, this is inventing the wheel again. Let's talk to Dave and Ray Ray and see if they'd be interested in getting on board. And one thing led the other through several talks, and here we are.
It was an easy call for me, Jason. an easy call, because I know how precise you are and I know how effective of a communicator you are, specifically when it comes to taking what I would say often big things and bringing them down to a level so that anyone can understand them. And of course, that's in my mind what makes a master teacher. Mm. We also have a copy of Jason's book. He's also the author of the book Philosophy Who Needs It.
And so basically we had a conference call a few weeks ago with Tim and Jason, and Dave and I were here after one of the episodes we did. And this is when we're talking. I was like, Dave, does he have a book? Because I need something to get to know the guy, you know. Because I've heard here and there, you know, just little things about you, Jason, and stuff. So it's like, if you have a book, I can get to know you through the book. And this is a really, really great read. And so it's like when you pick it up, and you know, I've been reading Van Til and all these other guys for a while. And so whenever you pick up a book that says Philosophy, Who Needs It? A Layman's Introduction to Philosophy, you're kind of like, well, you know, he's probably going to say a lot of stuff I already know. And it might, so, you know, you kind of get in that mindset of, you know, it's going to be information to know him, but I might not get much out of it that I already don't know. And the cool thing is he puts it into discipleship terms, and it convicted me even more. So it's not just a book of information, but it's a book where he's calling you to use this philosophy, the scripturally based philosophy, and put it into action, because it is a way of life. And this is Van Til, that apologetics is the vindication of the Christian life, which is Christian philosophy. And so in that book, you'll understand that a little bit more if you don't understand what I just said, what it means, what Christian philosophy means. But Jason did a really good work in there, because he did make it simple, but it does have a lot of good complex things to think on.
And Jason, just to double check, that book can right now be purchased on Amazon, but it will be available on the KI website. Is that correct?
We are getting it set up where you can order it through the KI website. I don't know if we got all, we don't have all the links set up yet for that. But we do have it where you can get it through. It is available through Amazon. It is available through the publisher Wiffenstock, as well. So, but
please,
it is
purchase it. We want to plug the book big time. Yeah. We'll even talk briefly about the book today, but I know it's going to come up because this is our last show of the year, but in one of our future shows at the end of January, we're going to have Dr. Crowder on again, and we'll talk probably a little bit more in depth about the book. So with that said, I just want to share a little bit, you know, about our side of joining KI, because I think it's important. But before we do that, you know, you saw what we did. And if you don't mind, Jason, maybe you could tell us why you wanted to join with Tag Your It Ministries.
You guys are doing a lot of what Tim and I are wanting to be done in the church, and more in a public forum outside of the church that is reaching people with the need for apologetics that's biblically based, scripturally based, that's being done passionately. And we wanted guys that are biblically solid, gospelly driven, that we did not have to worry about knowing what's coming out of you guys' mouth or the drive behind it, that we were going to have to babysit what's being said on you guys' show. With anything worried about it in any way. And we're, Tim and I are talking, and we're like, you know what? These guys, we know who they are personally. We know the podcasts. We know their content. We know they're well-rounded. They're grounded. Let's talk to them and see if they'll be interested in joining up and partnering with us, because there's only so much they could do by themselves. There's only so much we could do by ourselves. Let's see if we can join forces and reach a broader audience as a whole.
And I just want to jump in real quick. I also have to say this. I didn't share a bit before, but Dr. Crowder was my professor at Columbia Evangelical in Greek for a while. And so I was pretty excited when Tim said, hey, by the way, Dave, Dr. Crowder and I were wondering if, actually, he said Jason, and I were wondering if you and Adam would entertain the idea. And I was like, wait a second, seriously? This is amazing. Because I remember scrolling through the professors at Columbia Evangelical thinking, and that's the guy that I want.
Yeah. And I mean, from my end, you know, Dave and I probably a couple of months ago now were talking about, okay, we need to take a, we need to pick a time where we need to discuss 2019.
Yeah.
And really we were thinking about, you know, articles, writing books, trying to incorporate, you know, some different things, like maybe doing some correspondence for Tag, getting articles on the website. So basically they are doing everything that we started talking about. So they're kind of like that end that we wanted to add to our ministry was, you know, having somebody publish articles apologetically for Equipping while we do the podcast, and we keep what we're doing the same and just adding stuff. So whenever I heard the proposition, I was just like, you know, there's some questions I got to get answered, just just the organizational structure. But as far as everything else goes, I was like, this is stinking awesome. And I'm humbled again just by, you know, Jason, I thank you for, you know, because I need to hear, I guess, you know, that I'm staying within the gospel, that I'm staying within scripture. And so I thank you that you've recognized that, just so, because sometimes I sit back and go, you know, am I doing this for myself? Am I doing this to be cool? Have I joined the hipster Calvinist movement and this is what we do? Or am I actually appearing gospel-y, you know, gospel-based and gospel-driven, because I feel like I am, but, you know, it's just like, I don't want to just trust my own feelings about myself. So I appreciate you guys wanting to partner with us, because you guys are biblically, gospel-y, commissionally driven, and we are too, and I'm, you know, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, and that's one thing. If you want to find out more information, you can check out the website. Tim did put a link to the website in the discussion board, but we will have that link to the webpage actually embedded in our Facebook page. The big thing for me, Jason, is that you give us someone that we are accountable to. And that's an amazing thing for what I would say, two young bucks sometimes is often the phraseology that is used. We have someone who can say, no, guys, calm down. You need to reevaluate the way you're doing that. And then it gives us someone that we know who has, again, weathered the storm of apologetics in multiple facets and dealt with criticism and dealt with what I would consider the hyper opposition that is sometimes embedded within what we would call the wolves in sheep's clothing of Christendom, yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, so. It does. Plus, it gives both you guys down at Outlet partner with us. We are recognized with the IRS as a 501c3 nonprofit. So anybody can donate to the ministry.
Yes.
KI tax as a tax deductible contribution. All four of us are volunteers. All the proceeds go back into the ministry to support the ministry. Tag Your It broadcasts. The podcast go back to supporting KI, where it can publish biblically solid material to further the kingdom. None of us are taking a dime to further our advancements in making a salary.
Yeah, all of us I just want to state, so if you've ever wanted to give to Tag this. Your It,
yeah.
Now you can do so.
and right now, we'll put the link up later. We've already shared the link, I think, on our personal sites and stuff like that. And I think it's already on the Tag Your It Facebook page. But there is a fundraiser going on for the startup costs that we need for Kylopolis. And so if you've seen that and wondering what it was, now you know what Kylopolis is. We're a part of that ministry, and so giving to that fundraiser will affect us and help the whole ministry go forward in its very beginning. So if you want to get on the ground floor and help us out, that would be immense and very helpful. To get this thing started, because again, you know, our next question to ask would be good. But you know, the purpose of Kylopolis, just like the purpose of Tag Your It, was to equip the saints for the purpose of proclaiming and defending the gospel. And so in light of that, Jason, you know, what should we expect to see from this organization to start the mission?
One, the podcast is going to continue doing what it's been doing. We do have some goals and dreams for the podcast that, to be honest with you, I'm going to keep quiet and silent because I'm going to keep it a teaser. We got to keep you guys interested.
Oh, yeah.
We do have some big dreams for the podcast coming out in 2019 that we really want to see fulfilled with some good shows coming up. I do have some guests that want to see the guys to get on the show that I have told them, hey, let's try getting some of these guys on the show. But we also have some other things to for the listeners out there that we're trying to work out as well. But for the ministry as a whole, we got the four of us are working on an ebook right now that we're working on writing that we hope to have out in mid to late spring at the latest. Then we've got a couple other writing projects in the works. We got working on getting some really good, solid people. Not all of them are going to be reformed, but have really good biblical content in the area of philosophy, theology, apologetics on for the blog. Tomorrow morning, Doug Grootheises has a blog for us. Mm-hmm. Going to be posted on our website. Professor of Philosophy at Denver Seminary. Ken Samples will be having one come out. Don Williams, to just name a few, in the several in the coming months, have some stuff coming out for us. We got some other big names we're talking with be coming out. I will have some stuff coming out. Tim Carter, believe it or not, Ray Ray and Dave in the coming months. We'll be having some stuff coming out in writing.
Yeah.
You think they only talk? Believe it or not, they have committed to me that we will see some stuff from writing.
Committed to writing.
So we do have some stuff coming out.
Oh, yeah.
We are already looking at PolyCon 2019.
That is right. That's the big one.
In the fall, in the Springfield area, if you guys are part of that for 2018. We are already talking and planning for the 2019 conference. We are also going to schedule other speaking engagements, conferences. We're here to serve you guys, yeah, the body of Christ, and help the church equip young people and the whole body alike for the further of the kingdom, making disciples of Christ. What really got this ministry started is when I started seeing college kids, particularly sophomores and freshmen, not being able to defend their beliefs for Christianity when other people of other religions could defend their faith beliefs. And the Christians were getting frustrated and getting their worldviews shot down by people of other faiths. And they're like, Dr. Crowder, but my arguments are getting shot down. I'm like, yeah, they're getting shot down by the most basic arguments against your faith by an atheist, by a Muslim, by a Hindu.
Let me throw out something real quick, Dr. Crowder, just because in my mind I think that it's important. So within your realm of teaching, you're interacting with college students every day. And so you began teaching at the public university, at the community college level, and you began to have students come to you, and that began to unlock in you a desire to see these students be equipped. And so with that said, our blogs and the podcast is to get people equipped. How can churches and other individuals begin to connect with us besides the podcast and the blog?
They can reach out to us through our website. Tim will be setting up getting our email account set up hopefully this week. On that, we'll get our contact information out there as well, where they contact us. They can reach out to us on Facebook, have conversations with us on it. But we'll all four of us be glad to talk to you on how to on different ways we could be glad have different courses we could do within the church, discussions. There's so much stuff out there and resources that we could direct you to if you want to do something individually to read through, or if you want to have a group setting where you have one of us come and do a class or a seminar over a weekend, we'd be glad to talk to you guys about it. And get that set up.
So one thing that we also have now as a group within the four of us is we have an access to individuals who maybe we can't come to your church, but you could have all four of us through a Google Hangout show up, and we can do digital conferences with your youth group or with your church. And instead of just having, you know, one of us show up, we now have the means to get four minds together on these different topics. And that's one thing I also want to push is, we have an academic credential behind us that we never had before. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the amazing things about having Dr. Crowder with us is we've got someone who's published books, who's published research, who's seen the best that the other side has and knows how to respond. With that said, let's turn just a little bit and let's talk about your book, if that's okay, Dr. Crowder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sorry, sometimes I'll call you Jason and sometimes I'll call you Dr. Crowder.
Jason's fine. Does that bother me, guys?
Paul, Saul.
So tell us a little bit about philosophy, who needs it, and what your mindset was kind of behind writing it, and kind of give us an overview, if it's all right, of some of the chapters and what someone would expect.
The book was primarily written as a text to introduce the lay person to the concept of philosophy, because all of us, whether we want to admit it or not, have a worldview that is influenced by philosophy. Mm-hmm. And ideas, because ideas have consequences, philosophy matters. We all have a philosophy. The question is, what shapes yours?
Yeah.
And people think that because Paul in Colossians 2:8 says philosophy is empty and deceptive, that we need to throw philosophy out the window, just like so many other things in the world that are bad. But Paul is talking about a certain type of philosophy that needs to be watched out for. It's not all philosophy. It's philosophy that's empty and deceptive if you looked at the context. What I do in the text is look at what philosophy is, give a biblical justification of philosophy, talk about Christianity and philosophy, and that's just the first part of the text. Then I talk about how we come to know things, and this encompasses the insights of the operation of revelation, what is truth, how truth leads to freedom, truth and falsehoods, where I discuss how we know what truth is. Is there truth or truths, looking at truth claims? Mm-hmm. Then I discuss the issue of philosophy and the gospel, mm-hmm, on how we should live and the mandate of the God's mandate and the Christian philosopher. Then I ask probe the question, so what now?
Yeah.
Which I look at concluding thoughts on where we go from here. The book is really meant for, could be used as a Sunday school class, a discipleship class. Mm-hmm. It could be used for youth group. It could be used for young adults. It could be used for adults. When I was using this, wrote this book, I was living in Wichita, Kansas at the time. Our Wednesday night Bible study, a group of them bought the book, and we ended up discussing several of the topics within it, just because of the nature of it, because it's very applicable. It is meant to be that way. It's written to be that way for us to discuss, because the real life issues.
So in other words, someone could pick up this book, mm-hmm, and this is the key, and this is something I think really connects us as a like-mindedness. We want to produce stuff that can be picked up by a Sunday school teacher, a lay leader in the church. They can read through it with their church, discuss it, and apply the content like right away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how this book is written.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, it's very convicting because, like, you know, you go through, you know, Jason sets up that foundation of, you know, what is truth, you know, gets on those foundations. What is a worldview? Like, you know, whether you realize it or not, you got that worldview, and then you set up all the other stuff, and then he gets to the very end, where in part three, talking about philosophy and the gospel, and he talks about discipleship. I was happy to see that there was a section that was basically what I champion is, you know, evangelism, therefore apologetics. You know, discipleship and philosophy and all that stuff, how they, you know, we can section them out, but they go together. And this was kind of the whole mission of ApolloCon this year, was that multi-perspectival thing going on there. So, you know, in this, they'll see how we part and piece things out to examine them, but they'll also see how they come together for the goal of making disciples. Yeah. So this wasn't just a book of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's a book that calls you to action. And so whenever I'm reading it, I'm going like, is my life looking at that? You know, I've got a podcast. I call myself an apologist. I do these things. I'm saying these things. Am I living it too? And so this book will call the reader. It won't just give you knowledge. This book will call the reader into a Christian life, a Christian philosophy. So I really, again, appreciate the book.
And it is, I purposely wrote it with the purpose of it being grounded in Scripture. Mm-hmm. And if you go through the endorsements at the beginning of the book over and over again, you'll see people note that it's bathed in Scripture.
It is.
Which you'll rarely find a Christian philosophy text with so much citation to Scripture in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a salute
on the market.
Yeah, and that's what I thank God for Van Til speaking the way he spoke. And then it goes to Bonson and it goes to Frame and all these guys. And it comes down to me where I realize that I'm like speaking just Scripture text all the time. You know, whenever you get in there. So hopefully, you know, that's what it leads to. It doesn't just lead to just, you know, building up your head, but hopefully it gets to your heart and then it gets you intrigued in Scripture. And then you're like, oh, I know why I believe what I believe. And I want other people to know, which that's discipleship. Once you meet Jesus in Scripture, then you want to tell people Jesus in Scripture.
Right.
And that's what this is all about. So, yeah.
So Jason, let me kind of close out our interview with one last question, if that's okay. Because I think this really relates to where we meet KI as Tag You're It. And it is, how do you pair academics with application at the ground level? And how are we going to do that?
I think we might have some technical difficulties. If you hear us, let me...
Real quick, we will make sure we reach back out to Dr. Crowder because we
lost him. Still on there.
I'm still here.
Okay, cool.
There you go. Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
No, I'm still here. I've been thinking on this question all afternoon after you guys asked it initially. It all boils down to, our academics must meet our desire to further the kingdom. No matter what field of study we go into as believers, whether it's accounting, biology, chemistry, physics, we are to further the kingdom of Christ with our academic pursuits. If we're not able to further the kingdom and relate our field of study and what we pursue as a career choice and advance our discipleship, are we doing it for the wrong motives?
Yeah.
Man, I think you hit it right on. Mm-hmm. Real quick, who are some of the folks that endorsed this book, by the way? I said last question, but share with me some of the folks who endorsed this book, because I think they are some pretty big names.
Doug Rootheis, Gregory Gonzel, John Frame, Randall Bush, Gary Habernas.
That one's for you, Jonathan Hanna.
Ron Rhodes, Eddie Exposito. I got some pastors in here. Don Williams, Eddie Coakley, Rick Walson, Phil Fernandez, Stephen Bernard, James Henderson, David Bailey, Dennis Showers, Joe Tolan, Paul Gold, Eddie Lyrene, Steve Cohen, Scott Slade, Eric Odell Hine, Ray Rhodes, James Albers, Jerry Marcino.
Justin Weishart told me to ask you, who is the student that helped you with the section on Clark? I'm assuming it was him.
Yes.
Shout out to Justin. Thank you, Justin. Glad you're watching. Well, Dr. Crowder, Jason, we are really thankful for your interest in us. We are really thankful for your trust in us. And, man, we are excited to get to partner with you and looking forward to the good things ahead. Thank you so much.
And we just want to continue to pray for you.
Look forward to the days ahead. So, with that said, you got anything else real quick for us?
Tim and I are looking forward to it as well.
It's going to be awesome.
So you will notice that there will be a Kapalos, Kai Lapalos logo now on the Tag You're It podcast. Always. Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. So,
well, thank you, Dr. Crowder. So much, have a great evening there in Texas, and we will have you back on at the end of January.
Thank you. Looking forward to it, guys. Awesome.
We'll talk
to you soon, man.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dude, excited. Well,
yeah, that's awesome. Man, well, let's see if this is going to work for me now. So,
what's that?
All right.
It's going to work. Sweet. Yes. All right. Sweet. You just went and moved it back. So cool. Awesome. So there was a picture of Dr. Crowder. Picture of Dr. Crowder. No more. Because he's not on the phone with us anymore. But we're really, really thankful for him. Man, I'm just, I will have to say once more, when Tim contacted me and said, oh, hey, Dr. Crowder and I would like to talk to you about partnering, I thought, seriously? They want to partner with us?
That's
because I know they've been working on this 501c3 stuff for quite a while. So
So we don't have to do it anymore. So it's really good. So so that was the big reveal on everything. And things are going to progress. There will be more. Tim actually wants to call in, too.
Let's let Tim call
in. Yeah, so Tim Carter, if you just joined us at any moment in time, Tim Carter is... the vice president of Kylopolis. So I think he wants to call in and actually say something before we move on.
Yeah, and I like that a lot.
I hope you guys are enjoying this news as much as we are, because it's going to be, I mean, I'm going to get served, time. Dave's going to get served, you're going to get served, and we all get to do this together at some level.
Yeah. And the other thing is,
the church.
It's not just Adam and I anymore. Like, we have another two individuals who are working beside us hand in hand to make sure that every element is going right, making sure that things are getting better, making sure that what we're saying is theologically sound, and likewise that we're being fair with other individuals. And so, again, hopefully it's going to produce a better picture for you of what apologetics should look like as a group of individuals working together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really nice to know that it's not just Adam and I. Now we have a team that we're a part of.
Yeah, so they'll be working behind the scenes a little bit, giving us some direction. I mean, that gives us better connections to some more people that we can have on the podcast. Like you said, we had Jeff Durbin earlier this year.
Yeah.
And that was somebody that somebody gave us anyway. It looks like Crowder.
I am here.
Back on here. All right. So you guys hear us?
Yep.
All right. Sweet. Well, we got Tim Carter on the line as well now. So. So, we'll go back to talking to you guys.
So, Tim, who are you? Yeah. Tell us your mindset.
Yeah. Who are you, Tim? You've never been on this podcast before.
Say that again. I'm sorry. You broke up a little bit.
Remind us of who you are and tell us a little bit your mindset about going, reaching out to us and what your goals are for this now marriage, which is, going on, now taking place.
Yeah. Well, I've been in youth ministry for the last 8 years, just transitioned out of that into the role of an executive pastor, as well as some other changes. But over the last several years, like Jason had said, you know, we've been working together on my master's degree in apologetics at Columbia Evangelical Seminary. And like you said, we bounced around ideas and stuff and kind of came up with KI. And as we were forming things, I talked with you, Dave, on multiple occasions about some ministry ideas. And like you said, not to rehash everything, but we threw it out there and enjoyed it. And I'm happy about that. You know, I think one of the things that people can look forward to from us in this next year is to start seeing more content being put out there on the podcast and the blog You know, one of the things that we're still developing is our website, but I would encourage, you know, anyone who's listening or listening at a later date to check out kylopolis.org.
You can go there where you'll kylopilis.org. Continue, Tim.
And on this side, we'll have the Kylopolis logo.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yes, somewhere. Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, so no, not a problem. So on there, you'll find our blog. Like Jason said, we have a lot of great guests lined up. Doug Grotius is going to be our first guest tomorrow. It's going to get posted, as well as many other great local guys and great national guys that are going to be on and helping us in our endeavor to help equip the church for apologetics and evangelism. And, you know, on top of that, you will find on our page, the Tag You're It website page, where you can go and check out the latest content from them. We're working on getting the live feed on that page so you can watch it from there. Or if you got friends that maybe don't have Facebook, but they can get on a web browser, they can pull that up and watch the same live feed that you're watching. One of the things that we're getting in development. Some of the things that you don't see on the site yet are obviously content and store. You know, we're going to be working on producing a lot of great material for churches and for individuals to help equip them and to expand their mind and grow and mature spiritually and mentally in the Christian faith. And so you're going to see a lot of ebooks that are going to come out, a lot of booklets. And hopefully some larger publications that we've kind of got on the back burner right now that you're going to see. But, you know, one of the things is if there's a need that is out there, you know, as we're kind of getting and forming these things, it would be great if anybody has suggestions to go on over to our Facebook page, the KI Facebook page. And just leave a comment and say, you know, hey, you know, we'd like to see conferences in our area of the state, or maybe, you know, workshops covering a certain topic. You know, we want to serve the church. And, you know, in our kind of private discussions about, you know, how we're going to fund this and as a 501c3, you know, what we're doing with the donations, you know, we're taking this as an approach of the money is not coming to us. You know, we're not taking paychecks. We're doing this to serve the church. And, you know, as myself, you know, I told the guys the other night, you know, this is kind of a side hobby. You know, I don't want to earn anything from it. And everything that comes in is going to go back out to serving those around us. So even when we post publications that we're going to sell, you know that money that's not going to our pockets, that's going back to provide for better equipment for the podcast, to provide better web hosting and getting our name out there with some advertising and marketing, and just equipping us and enabling us to serve the church better.
And I want to jump in real quick on that, Tim. Like, for me, a big thing is, like, you know, ApolloCon was very heavy on Adam and I. It was a big responsibility. Now we have this split, and so we have different roles, and we have, because we have Jason, we have a voice who can approach a university or a college and say, hey, we have this academic backing behind us and we want to put forward this idea. And that gives us a bigger voice in my mind. And that's one reason that was really exciting and super, you know, again, it creates that mentorship relationship that, of course, you had as a student at Columbia Evangelical. Now we have it as here we are, you know, three younger apologists striving to train up other people, specifically students. And we have different levels of that type of mentorship. And that's one of the more exciting things to me anyways.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely exciting to kind of see all the brainstorming and ideas that have been put together by Jason and myself and you guys kind of begin to take form and really take off this winter. And I'm looking forward to this next year. You know, one thing, like I said, make sure everybody goes and checks out our Facebook page. I'm sure the guys will share that link on the Tag Your It page and get people over there. One of the things that we're going to be looking at doing in the new year is some ongoing discussion about topics where we introduce maybe a topic in the podcast, but then direct everyone to go to the KI Facebook page and kind of hash it out and discuss it a little bit more in depth and kind of build on each other and help each other grow as we try to wade through different thought processes and ideas and foster that Christian mind that the church desperately needs in our generation. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what you guys have done so far. Tagurit has done a phenomenal work. Last year I sat out to do my own podcast, and it is not an easy task to one, get the content, produce it, and stay faithful to it. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort that I think goes unnoticed sometimes, but I commend you guys on that. Great work, and I'm looking forward to working with you guys as we move forward.
Well, it's just because you have two crazy guys here. I mean, I'm the guy who is like showing up here, always bothering Adam, and then Adam is doing this amazing job with all the editing and putting it up on the website.
I get to play for the glory of God. I mean, that's the freedom that I have is, I get to play. This is where I get to play for the kingdom. So thank you again, Tim, since I hadn't said thank you to you publicly in front of everybody, but thank you again for getting the hookup on that and thinking of us and just appreciate it again. I think that's pretty much all. I mean, that's all I could say is thank you.
Yeah, so. It's so exciting to get to work with you guys. Here we were on the network together. We were able to host you for the debate. We were able to host you for two shows. And that was cool. We were able to have you at Apollicon. But now we're actually taking what we had in the network and putting it into an actual group of individuals working together in a podcast and in a apologetics organization. And just to think about that, when Adam and I first began all the way back in March of 2017 and we had our first discussion in February of 2017, we would have never thought, oh, hey, we're actually going to be a part of an apologetics organization with the individuals that we're connected with now. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're definitely excited. We're still here. Sorry. I'm doing multiple things at once, which you never do when you're on a podcast. We're thrilled. We're thrilled to be a part of what you guys are doing and have you guys be a part of what we're doing. And, can't reiterate enough how much you're going to see from KI and the Tagurit in 2019. A lot of great content that we haven't even discussed yet that you're going to see start cropping up. And, it's going to be a great year. I'm really looking forward to it with you guys.
Amen. Well, Tim, thank you, man. Yeah. I know. And by the way, Tim is at his home and the flu bug is there and he still was dedicated enough to call in. So
and he had an eldership meeting and all that stuff. So he's been a busy man today. So appreciate it, man.
Brother, praying for you and praying that your family gets feeling better.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're all down here with the bug. So
get rid of the bug.
Yes. Well, you guys have a good evening and heal up. We'll be praying for you. So we're not going to end the show, but I want to say soli Deo Gloria to you guys, man.
We'll see you.
See you, man. All right.
Now we're transitioning to the new part.
So the new part, but I'm going to go back to this little guy.
So really excited again to note that we are now part of Chi Lopoulos Institute. So we're still the Tagurit podcast, a podcast of Chi Lopoulos Institute.
Yeah. So nothing really changed. I mean, we were going to work on Tagurit Ministries. So that's what we were going to take and make a 501c3 at some point. And so basically all Chi is what we hadn't done and probably would find out that we could not do on our own. Because especially with Apollicon, it was a lot on Dave. He told me about all the work that I did. I did squat on that. No, so Dave did a lot on that. But anyway, we'll be able to delegate out a whole lot more and get a whole lot more done with these two solid guys that we have the pleasure to be put together and knit together by God.
Amen.
It's predestined.
That's right.
That we would come to this moment, and we get to say thank you to God for it. Amen. I hope that all things work together for those for the good of those who love him, and this is part of it, and we just pray that we are a means and a help in God's mission.
And I think back to the very first few podcasts, where it was just us down in the basement listening to a debate and reviewing it.
Yeah.
And the people who said, oh, hey, we listened to your podcast, and that encouraged us to keep going. And it's been fun. Like, yeah. We've definitely had some times where we've been kind of tired, been a little worn out from the different things in life. But God has used this as an outlet for us to glorify Him, to share the gospel with others. And here's one of our goals. It's really easy, in my mind, to tell someone, maybe they don't want to hear the gospel from you, but you can say, hey, listen to this podcast. They address that exact same problem. And that's where it brings it back to where we are right now.
And so, and the thing is, though, is this isn't just a YouTube video to send somebody to. This isn't just a random podcast to... Like, this is a chance that we're going to come back on again. We'll do open phones. We'll do stuff like that. We'll interact. And then Kylopolis is about, like, you can send your friends, and we will do our best to get resources in your hands or let you come on the show on open phones. Or if you want to debate, we can set up a debate on the show. We can set up a public debate. So me and Dave, we're still going to work on the same things that we were working on. But now we just have some push behind us, too, to help us out. So... I'm excited. If you guys aren't excited, we're just going to have to come and do something and I don't know, like serve you and then make you go, awesome. That's what that's about. So I hope you guys are excited.
So the beauty is that we can do what we were doing with more, a more sharpened focus.
Yes.
Because what we were doing was great, but then we were going to try to expand ourselves into trying to do publishing and trying to do 501c3 stuff and trying to organize debates. It was going to be rough. There was not going to possibly be another ApolloCon because it was just so much. There was only so much we could do. Yeah. And so we're trying to look at, okay, where are we going to have to make sacrifices? Here, what are we going to... That's over. You know, that's the thing is we have more people on board who are really good at what they're doing, too. And so that's the cool part. So ready to jump to it?
We've been on here for 51 minutes. But we hope you guys enjoyed it. If there's any more questions, we will have the chance to do open phones here after a little bit. But we're going to do this next segment. As promised, we're going to do meme theology. And wait for it. This is something new, too. So we're here to do, and I don't have music for it yet, so I'm going to provide the background music.
I'm glad
you're here. But here we go. It's time for meme theology, dun, 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 dun. And today's meme that we're going to be dealing with, as advertised, is talking about Blaise or Blaise Pascal. So here we go. We've got our meme of the day, and so this will be a feature that we will continue to do. We'll probably do it more than we have in the past, because now we've got a feature thing going on here.
And you can see the meme that we're talking about while we're talking about. You don't have to just pull up the Facebook page and look at it. We can interact with it live. And actually, here's the other cool part. You can also look at it with us and even provide some of your thoughts as we deconstruct. So Adam, tell us a little bit about it and let's rock and roll.
Yeah, earlier this week on Facebook, I saw somebody post a challenge. So, you know, this is something, if it's on Facebook, it's probably something viral. And so you can actually probably take it in the negative sense of the tone and the word viral. This is a virus. It's been a virus before Facebook. This is something that has infected the minds of a lot of people since he wrote anything about this. So this has been around for a long time. But I just chose, instead of just showing the Facebook challenge, hey, we'll make this a meme theology because I know there's a meme out there. So I kind of checked a bunch of different memes. But this is called Pascal's Wager. And so I looked at a bunch of different memes, picked a good one to pick on.
So give us a brief understanding of Pascal's Wager.
Well, Pascal's Wager, if you want to give it just the modern, just short, sweet, to the point thing, is believe in God. You know, if you believe in God, even if he doesn't exist, you have lost nothing. But if he does exist, then you've gained everything. So that's pretty much, you know, there's a lot of people that use that because they can't argue any further. And it's something that I've used in the past. I'm sure Dave's used it in the past. We all can probably say that we've used this at some point whenever we could not go anywhere else in our minds. You know why? Because we haven't been students of the Word, and we have not read books like Philosophy Who Needs It, and have been challenged in our faith by our pastors, by other disciplers in our lives, because unfortunately, I'm going to say it and you can get mad at me, but the church in America is deficient. Yep. Because we have embraced tradition and we are becoming the Catholic Church yet again, just in a different way.
Yep.
So if you want to be mad about that, you can be mad about that. But it's what I'm seeing, and it's not just me. It's a lot of other people. Once you get into just layman's approach, you'll understand what's going on, and you're going to see it. And if you can get mad about it, but it breaks my heart to see what I'm seeing. So that's going to tell you what you are in for. Are you in for knowledge, or are you in to actually hang out with the bride of Christ, bear each other's burdens, and be the church? And that's where I'm at, to the point. So that's why we're here. This is why I'm talking about stuff like this, because we need to get rid of this argument from our brain and from use in our mouths. A born-again Christian should not argue like this, and this should never come up in conversation.
So
yeah.
I remember the first time I heard Pascal's Wager. I was like in fifth grade. And I heard it from people who had been going to church for a long time. And even then I thought, huh, that's interesting. I never heard anything like that in Scripture. And guess what? You won't find Pascal's Wager in Scripture. Essentially, Pascal is saying, well, it's better to believe in God and die and be wrong than it is to not, because you don't lose anything either way.
Yeah.
Did I give it a nice
That's pretty much it. And like, you know, the thing is in the apologetic landscape, in mainstream apologetic landscape, you know, this is probably still okay to use, because what's happening is a mere assent to facts. You can just put it into that. A mere assent to facts is what saves you.
Yes.
Is basically what William Lane Craig, Frank Turek. I'm not sure about Lee Strobel, because I haven't really listened to a lot of his stuff. My focus is listening to Frank Turek and William Lane Craig on the other side. And basically, this would be right on that side of the apologetic
landscape. The greater preponderance of evidence will lead you to the greater likelihood of a God. Of a God.
Yeah.
And that's the massive problem. So,
here's the quote, and then we'll break down what Blaise said here. So it says, belief is a wise wager. Granted that faith cannot be proved, what harm will come to you if you grumble on its truth and it proves false? If you gain, you gain all. If you lose, you lose nothing. Wager, then, without hesitation, that he exists.
Belief is a wise wager. This is the first part that we were talking about. Where in Scripture does it ever talk about belief being a wager? Remember, the Bible says very, very clear that God exists. There is no wager. When Paul stands on the hill in Acts 17 and says during that discourse, does he ever say, and by the way, everyone here, great philosophers, you are more likely to, it's going to be better for you if you throw all of your change into the I bet there's this God that exists side. He says, no, the God who creation bears testimony to is the God that I'm speaking to you
and
about.
And your poets recognize him too. So you realize this stuff. You can't make sense of it. So this is where we get the presuppositional form from, because he does this is where we get it from. You realize it. You don't have a justification for any of this. But this unknown God that you know, you built an altar to him too. You say he's unknown. He's not. And it's Jesus Christ that proved it. It's Jesus Christ that is the God-man that, again, in John, you know, whenever we read John, is the one who revealed the Father. Romans, everyone knows that God exists. There's no atheists. We're all just delusional until we are given that heart of flesh from the heart of stone.
So Blaise Pascal, as wise as he might have been, really needed to remind himself of Psalm 19. The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day and day pours forth speech. Mm-hmm. Night to night reveals knowledge. Blaise is saying, essentially, I've got a better argument than David. I have a better argument than Paul. Oh, yeah. Are you ready? John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying you can know.
Mm-hmm.
You can know who God is because his word says so.
Yeah, Hebrews 1.
It's not a wager.
God spoke at sundry times. He spoke through the prophets, but he finally spoke in his son.
Belief. Sorry, go for it.
God spoke. and then God showed through his son. God entered, and so he became, he materialized himself, basically, in the God-man. So he's in, you have the Trinity in there, you've got all this kind of stuff, but you have God, and he's spoken, and so basically when you do this, what are you doing?
Pascal's wager is like playing Russian roulette.
Yeah. And is that the God of Scripture? What kind of, what God is he describing? He's not describing a God of Scripture in here.
There you go. Granted, faith cannot be proved.
And this, and that's the problem. So what he's doing is, granted that faith cannot be proved, what is he granting there? He's granting neutrality.
He's presupposing that God cannot be known, the God of the Bible.
Or he's conceding something that's not biblical.
And then there's this idea, what harm will come to you if you gamble on its truth and it proves false? Guess what? Faith is not a gamble. Faith is not a, let me throw this on Russian roulette or let me throw this on red. That's not what God says. God says you either are suppressing the truth that I exist or you are embracing that Christ has died to set you free. That's the choice. Never in Scripture is it described as a gamble. None of the apostles present it that way. None of the early church fathers presented it that way. Do you think Polycarp would have said, well, I've gambled that Jesus Christ came in flesh? No, he stood at the martyr's stake because he knew that God had spoken.
Mm-hmm.
No gamble. Yeah.
And so, again, this is what we're probably dealing with here is just Enlightenment style thought, that man is the center of things, and this is what we have to fight. We have to fight this man-centered approach. You start with God, or else you will go nowhere. You'll become absurd in everything that you do if you start with yourself, because you have to start with God and then reason from there.
And that's the key in this next in this next sentence. If you gain, you gain all.
Do you?
Here's the issue. Here's the issue. He starts with himself. Mm-hmm. Scripture never starts with the human being. In fact, the idea is we don't gain. We live to glorify God for his glory. You said, for his glory and our gain. But our gain is to glorify him. That's the greatest thing. Then he says, if you lose, you lose nothing. What do you mean you lose nothing? If you are wrong in this gambling match, if you say God didn't speak, if you say the clear evidence of God speaking creation into the existence, the clear evidence of God's testimony written upon the human soul is false. No, here's the thing. You might say there's a God all day long, but guess what? If you chose the wrong God, you're going to hell. That's why Scripture doesn't say choose a God. Mm-hmm. Scripture says God tells you to repent, you are a sinner.
Yes. So then we go, if you lose... Right, so if you lose, you lose nothing. That's true. But the thing is, the worldview on which this man has embraced because of neutrality, there is no gain. The bad thing is what he's telling you is that this God, because you have pretended, will accept you. But then again, this isn't the Christian God, because the Christian God has spoken and has told you the way, which is Christ, which is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not a pretending factor. It's not anything. You not just assent to mere facts, but you bow your knee to Jesus Christ.
And that's where the last phrase comes in.
So the big thing is if he's doing this a God, okay, which God is it, and did he speak? And if he doesn't, if no God has spoken, then you don't even have the epistemological ground to make this claim.
Wager then without hesitation that he exists. What God are you asking us to wager that exists? This is obviously some type of deistic God that is not the Christian God, because guess what? You don't wager the Christian God. You recognize your state before him. Here's the problem. You recognize your state before that holy God. You repent of your sins and you make Christ your atoning sacrifice before that totally righteous God that you have sinned against. That's not the Christian God. Blaise Pascal's wager does not work for the Christian God simply because of this last phrase here. Wager then without hesitation, as if you can wager your repentance.
Exactly.
One cannot wager their repentance. They recognize the fact that they are a sinner due God's wrath.
You know what that makes you look like if you wager? It makes you look like the Pharisees that Jesus told were not a part of his flock, that they were whitewashed tombs. They did the outward working. So basically, he's telling you to live a Christian life according to some law, or he's a godly life according to some law that I guess you get to pick or something like that. See, there's so much lack of information in here that this quote, this argument does not provide somebody whenever you use it. So basically, it turns people into Pharisees that are whitewashed tombs that on the inside, they're dirty. But on the outside, they might live as though a God exists that they want to please, yet you haven't given them any information on how to please the God that you're trying to argue. And if you're trying to be a Christian and argue, they're going to find out that you haven't been talking about the Christian God in this argument at all.
No, there is. This is a deistic God who hasn't spoken, a deistic God who hasn't made himself known, an impersonal God, which is no God at all, because if God is not sovereign, then God is not God at all. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the Pascal's wager is Pascal's roulette wheel.
Yeah, that's all it is. And it's not going to argue anybody into heaven, because then you're going to be on neutral territory to begin with, and you've already lost because you've stepped off the scriptures, you stepped off God speaking, you've joined them, because like, I think, and it's something that I've used in my class whenever I taught on this before, and it's something that I saw Jeff Durbin do, but you put two chairs in a room, you're a Christian, you stand on your Christian chair, which is standing on the scripture and God's revelation, and then the atheist or agnostic over here is standing on their worldview. So basically, it's a worldview issue. And so whenever you do this kind of argumentation, you're finding a neutral point. So here's the neutral point. It's not them, and it's not them. It's not yours. And then you step on this neutral point. You have lost everything stepping off your axioms and your presuppositions and in your worldview of revelation. But they have not lost anything whenever they stepped off their foundations over here to come to the point of neutrality.
That's right.
So you've lost from the beginning whenever you're doing this stuff. So this, again, if you are a born-again Jesus Christ follower and disciple, the thing is, I'm not mad. This is what the show is for. This is what apologists do. This is what we should be preaching. We need to demand repentance from anybody that That's actually likes this argument. If you're going to use this argument, please, please, please think about it. Read your scriptures and find out that this is not going to help you out.
It's sinful because it's not the God of the Bible.
Exactly.
Pascal, like you said, steps off, pretending that there's some type of neutral position. He gets this idea outside of scripture and can never reason back to scripture because the God he began with is not the God of the Bible. So when you leave scripture's authority to try and engage someone with the truth of the gospel, there is no gospel because there is no scripture in that type of argumentation. Hmm. There's a hope, maybe hopefully I can lead you back, but you've already chased an invisible bunny to get there. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why I wanted to deal with the meme. It's something that is going to, and it's guess what? Just because we dealt with it, it's not going to go away.
No.
We could have a podcast like this in every major city with a big draw in every podcast, and it's not going to go away. But please, Christian, if you hear this, let me beseech you, let me beg you, never, ever again, if you have in the past, if you did it yesterday, the thing is the biblical worldview provides forgiveness for these kind of things. Again, I've done it in the past. I'm sure Dave's done it in the past. I'm sure... I'd like to venture to say that Dr. Jason Crowder has probably used it in the past.
But what will be said is, well, what if you're wrong? That's not what Paul said.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus said.
Yeah.
That's not what brought someone like Polycarp to the stake. What if I'm wrong? It was no. How can I deny? I'm absurd. Mm-hmm. I'm suppressing the truth so hard. How in the world? God gave me eyes to see. How could I not say that? How could I not embrace the truth that God has spoken? And that's where we get this idea. That's what I got. I'm getting Pascal's wager. What are you wagering? The atheist has no capital. They're living on borrowed capital, and therefore they have nothing to wager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come to you empty-handed, and then you join them. And that's pretty much it. So there's presuppositional apologetics in a nutshell.
Boom.
Just kind of talking about these kind of usual Platonistic or Platonism type things that you can put on a meme and put into a conversation whenever you know that you can't go anywhere. It's better to say, I don't know, or I gotta stop for now. Let me go approach God's revelation. Let me go to his means of knowledge in the community of the church before I say anything more. But don't resort yourself to that. So, yeah, that's basically all I wanted to do on meme theology.
All right. I hope I didn't fly through it too quickly.
No, that's all right. That's the cool thing is if we flew through anything too quickly, we want to open the phones.
That's right.
And show, so I'm going to go into the next thing here, which will give you all the information that you need to know about how to do this. So what we are going to do whenever we do open phone time, we want you to text your name and just a short kind of description question. Text that to the number on your screen, 785-341-9260. That's 785-341-9260. Now, text your name and a short question to that number, and then whenever we receive it, in the order we receive it, we're going to call you. That'll make it a lot easier for us since we don't have a screen or a call screener and stuff like that. But basically, we've got something to talk about while in the meantime. And like last week, we don't have to talk about it. So that's if you guys want to call in, if there's anything with the Kyolopolis issue you want to ask, call. Or if there's anything with the meme, or if there's just anything about the past year,
and Tagland, questions about, you're like, hey, we really love that debate. We want another debate like this.
Yeah, just let us know. So anyway, start calling in, folks.
You said text in first.
text in, and then we'll call you.
Dude, what an amazing idea on how to set that up. Text in, and then we'll call them. I love that.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So we're going to jump over here real quick as we go to the next
thing. Dave brought an article in, and so I'll let him kind of be the leading guy on that.
So one of the things that we often see in my mind is a clash of the absurdity within the secularist worldview. By that I mean this. There are values propagated by those who are adhering to what I would call the moral sexual revolution that is the LGBTQ plus worldview. If you are an LGBTQ plus advocate, you might say, well, I'm a Christian too, but your worldview basis is a total rejection of the authoritative call of Scripture. So what we have here recently is this massive rise in the Me Too movement, right? So as that has begun to move forward, we've also seen this cross-section of individuals say anyone can identify themselves as whatever they want, whenever they want. And there's going to be a clash of those two perspectives because they hold conflicting values because they have no basis by which to derive their values, because the highest value within both of those systems, the LGBTQ+, even that Me Too, because it's and what I would call an aggressive Me Too movement, while there becomes a biblical basis for that, that biblical basis for the movement has been extradited to affirm these type of, hey, we are this massively important gender hysteria type of worldview where men are domineering over women. So you have the LGBTQ plus rise, the Me Too movement plus rise, and there's a point where they're going to intersect because of the absurdity of both positions. And in that, we see this article from the Daily Wire today, and you've probably seen it floating around on YouTube, or on Facebook and other social media platforms. It's titled, 11-year-old boy dresses in drag and dances at gay bar, gets dollar bills thrown at him. The article comes from Amanda Pesgimaro, and I'll begin the article. On December 1, an 11-year-old boy dressed in drag danced on stage in a sexual manner at a gay bar in Brooklyn, New York, called $3 Bill. The child, Desmond Naples, was dressed as a Gwen Stefani lookalike, full drag makeup, a blonde wig, and crop top included as he bounced around on stage to No Doubt Like a Girl, and collected dollar bills from male adults viewing the number. The Daily Wire has reviewed and confirmed the performance through video and photos posted on the social media, but has chosen not to link to the exploitative footage. The performance was first flagged by YouTuber Yosera Osaya was promoted on Eventbrite by $3 bill. Only in New York, a nightclub that makes you go whoa needs a promotion. Featuring upcoming legend from television and Runaway, Desmond is amazing performing live. This dance floor, this house is ours as long as we protect it. So here's the deal with this. Here we have an 11-year-old boy who has showed up at a gay nightclub dressed in drag. Now here's the problem with that. An 11-year-old boy is a non-consenting child. In other words, he cannot be exploited sexually, yet he is. Why? Yeah. Because his mom and dad say he can't. But here's the problem. We can't say anything about it because guess what? He might not feel like he's an 11-year-old boy. In fact, he feels like he's Gwen Stefani. So who are we to ever step in and say anything about this? The article continues. The promotional ad notes that $3 Bill is a queer-owned and operated, and we foster a safe space from love. We respect all human persons as long as those human persons are also respectful of the ones around them. So here's the absurdity of this issue. A child is being paid to strip for men or to dance around provocatively for men. We cannot say in the moral revolution whether that is right or wrong. Why? Because if we were to say you're exploiting a child, our feet have been knocked out from underneath us. Because what if the 11-year-old feels like an adult? If we are to say, wait a second, this sexual exploitation, because that's what it is not consensual, because this is not a consenting adult, we're also at a loss.
Yeah, and so it goes to the point of, you know, just think about if it keeps on going this way and, like, goes in favor of this absurdity, you know, basically my daughter could come up to me someday and be like, Dad, I know I'm only 13, but I want to go strip somewhere. And I can't stop her.
We've knocked that ability away.
So basically, right now in our society, you can say that, you know, it's really gross whenever old men look up child porn. And we put them in jail for that right now.
Yes, right now.
But where is it going to go once this continues to roll? Are we going to have a society where child porn is just a part of the internet?
But
where
you can't.
It's okay.
And you can't address the parents because what are we doing? We're taking away that child's right to dance like this, to express themselves.
Yeah, because right now it starts. It starts at a, you know, he could have been clothed the whole time. You know, it starts that way. But we've seen in the past, these kind of things start, but apparently they don't stop unless if there's some sort of absolute moral in society that's followed.
And again,
it keeps shifting. It keeps going. The morals are fluid.
The statement from $3 Bill, we respect all human persons as long as those human persons are also respectful of the ones around them. Why? Oh, wait a second. You're respecting an 11-year-old boy who wants to dress and probably thinks that he's a girl because mom and dad say, you can make some money doing this. Or, well, we want you to fulfill your dream because that's your goal right now. Mm-hmm. This is child abuse.
Yes, it is.
Every single promoter should go to jail for exploiting a child sexually. Mm-hmm. Further, mother and mom should go to jail for abusing a child and allowing them to even go there.
Because I think there's really strict laws. You know, I have to look up the laws anyway, but if you are a child actor, there are stringent laws. You just being in a movie and being a child and you're clothed and you're not dancing around like that and stuff like that. I mean, there might be some cheesy dancing and stuff like that, but it's not going to go to the point where you're dancing like you are in a strip club in drag, getting dollar bills thrown at you.
How long, though? Because now the footing for saying that this child is being sexually exploited has been knocked out from under us, because if we say that this is child abuse, we're first of all demeaning the child now, and we're second of all not allowing the child to fulfill his dreams. Oh, what? And third of all, we're allowing the right of these men to see this child dance around. Mm-hmm. When there is no morals, all morals go. Oh, wait. When there are no morals, there are no morals.
Yeah.
Here's what one individual writes. I left after seeing a child dance on stage for money at nighttime. This was on Saturday night, and I have been feeling disturbed ever since, wrote a one-star reviewer of $3 Bill on December 1st via Yelp. The person should have called the police as soon as this child stepped on the stage. But if you look at the picture, and I don't know that we've linked, and I'll actually link that right now so you all can see the article that we're talking about. But the issue is, as soon as this child stepped on the stage, someone should have called the police. But the issue is, why? Wait a second. Yeah. You can't even call the police because, again, you're making a judgment. And what I'll bet this individual who put the one-star review on Yelp is probably seen as judgmental and condescending and terrible.
Yeah.
The article continues. Other reviewers on Yelp noted that the club has a no cell phone policy, as highlighted by Dangerous.com. The club has a wired no cell phone policy, but we wanted to have a good night, so we went along with it. The club put our phones in these locked sleeves, which you could tie around the club. Upon entry, they stamped our hands and write our phone/check cost number in on our wrist in a permanent marker, said one reviewer. So wait a second. Yeah. The club recognizes that what it's doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want other people to take pictures.
Yeah,
or to
so
show
it's,
video.
It's something that is not meant for certain people to see. Because they don't want people, you can go live stream on Facebook with your cell phone and put their content basically up for the outside world to see. There's something restricted about this content that they're putting up. So they recognize that there is a category of their content. So they've drawn a line there.
Where are the Me Too reviews?
Yeah.
This child
is there anybody
has been
out
sexually
there?
Exploited.
Is there anybody out there where it started out? Where they were trafficked in, or maybe even like the way that they were propositioned made them go, okay, I will do this as a kid, to where now, say 10, 15, 20 years down the line, they're going, I was exploited. Yes, I did give my consent. I trusted this person. I did this. And then 20 years later, they're going, wait, no. I was afraid for my life. These people, like, I couldn't say no to them. So I had to put on a show because I felt like I would get killed if I didn't. And so we're seeing the same thing played out with all these men from 20 to 50 years ago, apparently, doing what they did, and now they're getting tried for it.
This
so can we put our mindset?
Slavery.
Yeah, and
this
so this is not a good
slavery.
Thing.
That's it. This child is in sexual slavery. But guess what? Here's what the article continues. Though many have been outraged at Desmond's parents because of the clearly over-sexual nature in which the child has appeared publicly, the media have been relentlessly promoting the inspirational drag.
Yeah, and this is where we get into what really is sad, because now this kid is getting dragged into the political nature of this thing and is now going to become the piece of propaganda. This person is not going to be a person anymore, because postmodernity has turned people into things to be played around with and paraded for their agenda, and they're not a person.
And the child is a commodity. The child is a commodity to the LGBTQ plus movement. The child is a commodity to the moral revolution. The child, however, is not a commodity if there really is a Me Too movement.
Yeah.
So you can see that the Me Too movement is also about exploiting whatever it can exploit. Because if there was truly a child who had been sexually abused, this is sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
But no one is jumping on the bandwagon to protect the kid.
So basically what's happening here is you can say, well, look, he's happy. He's happy. He's happy. He's happy. You know who else is happy? The kid chasing the ball in the middle of the street when the car's coming at him. Because he's only focused on the ball and he doesn't see the car that's going to run him over. And is there a moral duty to the person that's supposed to catch that child before the car hits him? Well, not in this world.
In June, the Today Show promoted the overly sexualized child. Meet the 10-year-old drag kid taking over social media with an inspiring message, reads the caption to a video interview with Desmond. Wait a second. So the Today Show is also exploiting this kid. And there's a video of this, and I wish I would have pulled this up before. It says, inspiring message. A child with an inspiring message. Oh, man, can you get on the video?
It's,
and
Well, let's throw the video some other time.
Yeah. This is crazy. This kid is being seen as a hero. His parents aren't being seen as abusive. The kid is confused into thinking that it is good for him as a minor to dance sexually explicitly for gay men. Mm-hmm. He's clickbait. Here's what the Daily Beast also says. It's really amazing being in the spotlight. This is the kid. It's really amazing being in the spotlight because I get so much support and I'm an inspiration to so many people, which is one of my number one goals. No, no. Your eye candy and your parents should be taken to jail. These individuals, these gay men, are not excited for you because you're so brave. They'll use that, guys, but they want to look at you like a piece of meat.
And it's the thing is, we live in a society that at the same time doesn't like people being treated like pieces of meat. And then we're talking about ethically sourced porn now. And we're talking about, like, and it's like we live in a society where nothing makes sense. And I am the crazy one.
Here's what Desmond says. I like all the fame and helping the LGBT community fight for our rights. Well, wait a second. Sex trafficking, all those kids are fighting for is a legalized sex trade. Mm-hmm. They're fighting for the rights of individuals to rape children and to own. They're fighting for the rights for sexual slavery. I'll bet you if you told one of them to say that and you were their owner, they'd say it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they don't have the ability to discern. They don't have the knowledge of consent.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So this should really be bugging people right now instead of using it as a chance for any sort of victory or rejoicing. This is another event of mourning for anything rational. This is an image bearer of God. I can say that, you know, is handed over into a huge, horrible thing that all I can do is say we as Christians need to look at this and we need to pray for that kid. We need to pray for his parents. And if anybody that knew this kid needs to preach the gospel to this kid and to the family and be around them and love on them in that respect to give them the gospel and be there and be a Christian witness and be like, this stuff is wrong.
And companies are monetizing this. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? House of Amazing is actually creating an exclusive line of clothes for drag kids.
So now it's going to get marketed. Yet we don't like Joe Camel cartoons, but you know we can market drag clothes to kids.
It's just, here's like, we live the in interesting element at the end. The boy is working on a magazine called The Amazingest Magazine, targeted at LGBTQ youth. Preparing to launch a new video series on YouTube channel called Let's Get Amazingly Real with Desmond is Amazing. First of all, Desmond is not getting amazingly real. His brain is being hijacked by a group of individuals who want him to think that he is something that he is not and are celebrating the sickness in his mind. Mm-hmm. And you say, oh, Dave, that's so mean. No, no. Look at the amazing amount of individuals in the LGBTQ plus movement who suffer with depression and commit suicide and live a life of illicit drugs and suffer from all types of sexually rampant diseases. And they're telling a kid who's 11 years old, jump into that lifestyle.
Yeah, have fun.
That's cool. And mom and dad are clapping their hands. And they're seen and they are told by our society, you're so great. You're such great parents. That's great parenting. That's the new standard of great parenting. Amazing.
Yep.
And it's a mess. That's where we do apologetics.
Yep.
Because guess what? Desmond has a soul, and one day Desmond will stand before a righteous God.
Yeah.
And his parents will stand before a righteous God. And Jesus was pretty clear. People who'd hurt little children, it's better for a millstone to be drug around their neck. Hey, Hey, Kenny is touching base with us. Hey, Kenny. Right.
Yeah, let's give him a call.
Hey.
Hey, hasn't.
We I don't know if he was in here, but we'd love to have you talk, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give him a call. That... Yeah. Kenny, you're the first person to call in. We're still trying to work a little bit of our text messaging and our new system here. Yeah. So let's talk about this article. Here it is. Boom.
Yeah.
Plug it in. I hope you don't mind. We're going to call you. Should be able to. 1-2-1-2-1-2.
Oh, now you guys know it on the, out there, too. Oh, I got to touch. Oh, yeah. Use passcode. All right. So we'll give
a little Kenny bit dead air time for Kenny. Last show of the year, we get Kenny to call in. I hope that he's free. Let him interact with us. That would be amazing on the article.
So how you need to figure out how to call this kid?
Oh.
Oh, wait. I got it.
Sweet.
Voice call. Ring. There we go.
Awesome. He's just now seeing that we're calling him.
So here, we're calling Kenny.
Hello.
Hey, Kenny.
You are called on. In, so yeah. So we called you back. You texted in, so we thought we'd call you back.
Oh.
Have you seen this article?
What article? Sorry.
The one we are discussing.
I have not seen the article, but the subject matter itself is like something that like I've always been like, you know, super concerned with, because it's like you have this issue with sexual immorality in this nation, and like, you know, God will give people over to their sin. He'll give them what they want as judgment.
Yes.
And what happens is then that leads to child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And this has happened before, where sexual immorality leads to child sacrifice. And we see this with the abortion. And then that, what happens then is that the land itself will vomit us out of it. It will start, you know, eating away at itself. And so you see all the natural disasters going on. You see all the flooding and the destruction. It's just, you know, I believe that, you know, Jesus is at his throne and he's putting all the enemies under his feet. And and he is judging right now when it comes to these issues with the destruction of the family and children not understanding who they are. And it's a lack of fathers, you know, being the leader in the household. And yeah, it's very sad, and it's very telling as a church. Like, we should really start to get a little bit more bold and get some courage into the public square and start proclaiming, you know, the truths.
Dude.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I love the way you have just recognized that. That's the evidence of the child sacrifice. Right there of an immoral nation.
Yeah.
That is how God is taking our children. And I think he'll continue to take them by storm because of this.
And where do we get this information, Kenny? We get this from scripture alone, don't we? We can recognize that this is judgment because God has revealed this is how he judges.
Yeah. And it's righteous judgment. I mean, he is letting us have what we want. Mm-hmm. And what we want is to make... is our sin. We want our sin. And it's only by the grace of God that we can, you know, be a new creature in him, in Christ. But, you know, it's easy for us to that are hidden in Christ. It's easy for us to look out and say, I just don't understand. Like, this is just horrible. Totally forgetting that the only difference between us is grace.
Amen.
And that's it. And that's why it's so important for us to when we speak about these issues and when we talk to them, that we're no different. The only difference is grace. Like, we would be just where they are if it weren't for God's, the riches of his grace and his love. So it's just something that, it really humbles you knowing these truths. It should humble you. It shouldn't make you arrogant and and sort of, you know, yeah, arrogant. And it should humble you. It should bring you to your knees and you know, plead for the souls, you know, and want to proclaim the gospel, because God is sovereign, because He is ultimately in control. So
yes,
yeah.
Dude, amen, Kenny, man. Thank you for listening to us this year. And I have to visit with Adam a little bit more, because you're one of the people that I'd like to maybe possibly have be a contributor because of your knowledge. Yeah, I need to introduce you to him. Right. He's from my hometown.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah. Well, nice to meet you, man. We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely. I love the podcast. I mean, as soon as I don't know if it was really like I was a false convert or not, but you know, over the years, but like this year in April, like, man, it just hit me so hard. Had clear visions. I was like, man, I definitely feel like I came to the Lord in April. And then all of us, like, I kind of like was learning to be, I was like learning apologetics and theology before I came to the Lord. And then it all just kind of happened at once. Like, beautiful. When I was praying about it, and then immediately started like talking to Dave. I was like, oh man, Tag, like, Transcendental Argument for God. Like, I know this stuff. This is great. What a great catchy name. Like, I like it. And then he was, you know, talking to me about it. And we went to a men's encounter retreat, and I thought that was really great. And it's just been amazing, like learning and being surrounded by a bunch of people who love God and share like these truths with each other, and like are just really humble and loving and caring for one another. It's just been amazing. So I would love to be able to contribute any way I can. And you know, like, I was talking to Dave about it, and he was I had shared some like idea or whatever, and he was like, oh yeah, that's exactly what we're thinking about, you know, having. So
cool.
And you know, all the recording stuff already.
Yeah.
Kenny used to be a rock star.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I never got there, but I was
low key. It wasn't anything major, but
I get you. Low key rock star. It's okay.
Yeah. It was, I'm familiar with all the recording stuff for audio and video. So
cool.
It's
Hey Kenny, we'll let you go, man. Thank you so much for calling in the text, and we will touch base with you in the future.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, keep up the good work, guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Bye.
All right,
bye. God bless. Bye.
You too.
All right, dude. I think we actually had a call in.
We got a call in. We got to play with it all. But anyway, for the few people that have stuck around the whole time, I just wanted to give a really long episode, because we've got lots of room on our monthly hosting. So I was like, let's blow it all out and have a good evening. Sorry. So that's all right. We got holidays. We got stuff we got to do. But anyway, we just want to thank you for another great year of the Tag Your Podcast, and be able to serve you. You guys are serving us.
Exciting reveal tonight.
Yeah.
And exciting future ahead.
Yeah, so 2019 is going to be awesome. But guys, we want you to just make sure that you spend time with your family.
Yes.
Jesus is it. Jesus came. He was in flesh. He's the God-man. He is the one that was to save God's people. And we get to be His prize whenever He comes again. Man. And we get to go along with that. So, you know, serve your King and worship with your family, and just make sure you tell them kids. Like, if you don't have anybody discipleship in your life right now, you've got kids, you have disciples.
That's right.
And give them the gospel every day. So please enjoy your Advent. I don't like to use the word Christmas, but
we really need to do the disciple your kids episode.
That'd be like, great.
That's something that
family stuff.
Amen.
Like, yeah. No. Definitely. So if you're having a problem with that, since that is before we go,
hey man, we got all the time. You said we got all kinds of time.
So here we go. For Christmas, if you need a book to read on the break and you just want to get one, we've got Family Driven Faith by Vadi Bakum. I read this earlier this year. It's convicting. It's very good. And if you need help, that's a good book to get you guys started in family worship and stuff like that. But please use this time to start even before the new year, and you make your New Year's resolution. Use this time and this time of the season that we celebrate the first coming of Christ to come and save, do the work of salvation for us. Get that to your kids and incorporate that to the rest of your life, because the season's just a season and it's arbitrary. But every day we get to Sabbath rest in Christ. He is our Sabbath. So, in the light of that, enjoy your family, and we'll pick up back here January 7th with Sam Waldron talking about the 1689 London Baptist Confession. So, with that said, this is the Tag Your It Podcast
for 2018.
Yes, and I'm Ray.
I'm Dave.
And soli
Deo
Gloria.